like Jesus. Can any of us be like Jesus? As the choir just sang, you're a good, good father. Jesus is a good, good father. And it should be our goal every day to be like Jesus. You don't necessarily have to be a father. You don't have to be a mother. To be a child of the one true King, to be a child of God, you should strive daily to be like Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd ask if you go ahead and turn to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, this is not what's in the bulletin, and I apologize for that, but I had a change in direction for today's message. Or God had a change in direction of today's message. 1 John 2, 28, and we'll read 3 through verse 3. But before I go any further with those verses for our focal passage today, I want to share 1 Thessalonians with you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, it reads, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Would you agree with me, or do you think about this verse, that Jesus will come like a thief in the night? We do not know when the thief is coming. We have no idea. If we did, we would be able to be more prepared. We can stand on guard. But at the same time, we don't know when Jesus will return. But we should stand on guard. We should be ready, because we don't know when that day will arrive. And so this morning, I want us to focus on what it means to be like Jesus, what you and I can do each and every day to be like Jesus. And the first thing we know is that we have to be able to be a faithful servant, a humble servant, a one who is willing to go above and beyond what life itself brings, being willing to love, being willing to show others what it means to love the way that Christ loves us. So these verses from 1 John today, chapter 2, verse 28, if you would follow along as I read. The children of God in righteousness. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth it not yet appear what we shall be? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for sending it down from heaven above so that we can understand and learn more about your ways, God, so that we can comprehend what it means to be like Jesus. Father, this is my prayer. May your spirit move through us today, God. May you lead and guide and direct us, bringing honor and glory to your precious and holy name. Amen. So as Christians, there should be a visible proof, visible evidence that you are who you say you are, or that you are living a life as a Christian. Not that, as I have said numerous times before, that we constantly have to walk around holding up a sign that says, I'm a Christian. But you know, when things begin to happen within the world and people begin to take a stand, that's the first thing they say, I'm a Christian. Really, if we're living the way that God needs us to live and wants us to live, we shouldn't have to boldly stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Our lives should tell, should dictate who we are. If we believe and worship this good, good Father, that we truly believe in this man called Jesus, we should be able to walk and talk and share his light and love all places that we go. And that we should not have to stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. You should be able to recognize and know. Now, there's nothing wrong with you standing up for your rights and your beliefs as a Christian and letting people know, hey, this is where I stand because I am a Christian. But a lot of times we throw that tag out there thinking that, oh, well, once you say that, oh, you're good. You're covered. Well, you can say it all you want. But if you don't practice it, and if you don't live it, and more importantly, if it's not really hidden within your heart, then those are just words being uttered from your mouth that have no meaning whatsoever. You have to live it. Walk the walk and talk the talk. So here in John, as he addresses the children of God, he's not talking about little children. He's talking about anyone, young or old, who has been called into the kingdom of God. You are children of God. There's no age on this title that John is using here. It says, and now, little children, it does use the word little here, but it says abide in him, because this is what we teach our little children. We want to teach them at a very early age in life how important it is to abide in God's holy and infallible word. You know, as a young child, it tends to be easier to have that fire, to read that Bible, to want to learn more. Because, you know, when you're a child grew up, you're focusing more on those stories that really pop out at you. The David and the Goliath, Noah, Jonah, Zacchaeus, all those stories that are so interesting. And so as a child, you can't help but want to know a little more. But, you know, as we grow older, you know, we begin to think, well, I already know all those little stories. There's no need for me to worry about those little stories anymore. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe that. And we tend to be okay with that. We tend to be content with that. But we should be able to dig a little deeper every single day and go back and revisit those stories that we share with our children, because those stories have great, impactful meanings. Otherwise, God would not have had those events take place and had them, they would not have been recorded in the Bible. They're great stories. Think about Jonah, for example. Yeah, that's a story that we share because he was swallowed by this big fish. But think about what happened to Jonah. Why was he swallowed by that big fish? For you adults, what we tend to do daily. What was he doing? He was running away. How many times do we get caught running away? And thankfully that God doesn't allow us to be swallowed up by a fish. Now, metaphorically speaking, we may be swallowed up by a big fish sometimes, which we call life. And sometimes life seems to swallow us up. And we forget to remember or to reside in God's word and come back to him before sooner than later, I guess you'd say, or later than sooner. But just as children are so eager, they want to be like Jesus because they've learned about him. It's a newfound love, a new piece of tangible evidence to prove that God exists. We should be the same way as an adult. We should continue to strive daily to be like Jesus, because remember, today being Father's Day, and as we looked at our mothers back in May, we want to think about those God-fearing women, those God-fearing men, those mothers, those fathers. If we're being like Jesus the way that we are supposed to, if we're walking the walk and talking the talk, remember, we're letting our light shine to the world, but also more importantly to our children, that legacy that we're going to leave behind. And I'm very thankful for the legacy that was left behind for me. And I hope that I can influence my children the way that my grandfather influenced my daddy and the way my daddy has influenced me. I hope that I can be of that great influence. But not just for Robert, Michael, and Brody, but for anyone that I come in contact with. That should be our main goal, our main concern, is that are we being like Jesus everywhere that we go? And we know, unfortunately, the answer is no. We're still human. We're still going to make mistakes, but we're going to go back to that title, the song that the choir has already sang. He's a good, good father. And he's a good, good father because he's long-suffering, because he's steadfast, because he has great mercy, and his grace is always overflowing for every failure that we have. For every past failure, he wipes it clean. For every present failure, he will wipe it clean. And we know that he'll do the same for future failures as well. But all you have to do is just be able to recognize that God loves you and he wants to take away those failures so that you don't dwell on them. Sure, we can all dwell on all the many mistakes that we've made, mistakes, and then the sinful mistakes that we've made. But we can't. if we want to be productive Christians or productive, faithful servants for God. Because if you truly believe in God and understand and know what His Word is all about, then you should not dwell on the past. He's already taken care of it. That's wasted energy that you could be spending on promoting God's holy and infallible Word. Many people do good things, but don't have faith in Jesus. Many people claim to have faith in Jesus, but don't do anything with their faith. True faith should always result in good works, and it's not by works alone, but we know that we're not saved by the good works in which we do. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God." It is a gift. Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So not anything that you've done. So don't boast about how good you are. Don't boast about how great you are or great of a servant you are in the church or in the community. Don't boast in those things. It's a gift from God that has allowed you to be able to understand and know the importance of servanthood, that you're doing it for His name and His name alone. We know that works, good works, they cannot, they shall not, they will not provide for us salvation. They won't produce salvation. Nor is it necessary to just go out and have good works and no faith, just as it's unnecessary to have faith and not have work. The two go hand in hand. If you are of the faith and if you truly believe and you're trying to be like Jesus, you should have a desire to go out and do good works. If you don't mind, turn back a few pages to James 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We will go back to 1 John chapter 2. James 2, 14 through 17 reads, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So with these verses that we've just read together, what does these three verses have in common with what we should do to be like Jesus? If we do not adhere to Jesus' word, if we do not adhere to what He needs us to do, then we are not profiting ourselves, we're not profiting the kingdom of God, we're not doing anything. It's pointless, it's worthless. The Bible tells us that if we attempt to talk a good game, but we have no good game to truly talk of, then all work and talk is in vain. It says, "Though a man saith he hath faith, but he doesn't have works, can his faith save him?" What's the answer? No. Because if a man, if a woman truly has faith, there's going to be works to follow. Not because they desire to do those good works, because the Holy Spirit has now indwelled within their heart and truly given them the insight of what faith is all about. And then the Holy Spirit drives them to produce good works. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead." And how important is that for us to realize and know that if you have faith and no good works, it's dead. It's pointless. It's worthless. If you have good works, but then you have no faith, that too is dead. It's pointless, and it is worthless. Our desire to be like Jesus should be one who wants to produce through faith and to produce through good works. I think about the many hands that took place in our vacation Bible school. The ones who volunteered to help, whether it be behind the scenes, whether it be in the kitchen, whether it be as a teacher. Those are examples of good works through faith, because our goal through Vacation Bible School is not only to minister to our own needs, because when you minister and you do the things in which God needs you to do, you too are receiving blessings. And you should feel those blessings. It should be an instantaneous reward that you know that you're doing the work of the Father. And whether a soul was saved or not, we know that many seeds are planted. And you may not ever be, never have a true hand in saving someone. You may not visually see that your words and your good deeds and your faith has saved someone. But rest assured in knowing that if you're living the life that Jesus needs you to live, and you're striving to be like Jesus each and every day, you're planting seeds, and that's all God needs you to do. That's all that He wants you to do, is to plant those seeds. Because once He has seen that the seed has been planted, we let Him take over that part. We let Him take over the real work, because He is in control. He knows what to do. He knows when each individual's heart is ready for the Holy Spirit to begin to talk and to work within them. And that's all we need to do. We pray for His will to be done in all individuals' lives. We pray for God to lead, guide, and direct us so that we can lead and guide and direct others. Be like Jesus in all that we do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, back at our focal passage for today. In verse 28 it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence." That's important. If you abide in God, you've got great confidence. You should have great confidence. And then it says, "and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, what that means is not, it doesn't mean be ashamed because, oh, Jesus is here. Not to be ashamed of Jesus. What that means is, what are you doing at His appearing so that He will not be ashamed of you, is what that means. Are you being like Jesus? Are you being of the world? Remember, as we read at the very beginning in Thessalonians, He cometh like a thief in the night. We do not know. So if He were to come now, or if He were to come tomorrow, what will you be doing? Will you be like Jesus, or will you be perpetrating the world? That word ashamed is a very important word in this chapter, or in this verse rather. Not be ashamed before Him. This word ashamed actually means, you know, for example, you know, if you've caught one of your children doing something and then they realize, oh, they're caught, or they become ashamed, they become shameful. They've got that look in their eye like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I've been caught. Well, this shame here is actually referring to the guilt and the terror that will be upon a person's life at judgment day. So this is very important because of judgment day. This is what this refers to. It says, but if we remain in Him, remember that, that's the key. If we remain in God, we won't have to worry about this grim scene. We can avoid this scene altogether. We can avoid the word being ashamed. We can know and rest assured that God will not be ashamed of us, and He will not catch us doing anything where we should be shameful of our actions. But before one can become unashamed, what is it that we must do? Whether you're a believer in Christ or not, there's one thing that you have to learn to do, especially for those who are non-believers. In order to be found righteous in His sight, it's very important that you must abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. If you do not abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that means that you're not placing your faith and trust in Him. You're trying to do everything on your own. And you're definitely not being like Jesus then. You're being very selfish. And you're only worrying about your wants and your desires. Not needs, your wants and your desires. We must abide in Him. If we abide in the Father, we will be more prepared to do what is pleasing in His sight. And that's what's important. You must abide in Him daily. Daily. And more than one time through the course of the day. Moving on to our second verse of today's reading, 29th verse of John, 1 John 2. It says, "If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." So that means if you know that Jesus Christ is righteous, if you know that He is who He says He is, that means you know it, that means you believe it, and you understand it, then you too know everyone that doeth righteousness, because they are born of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way that you can become righteous except through Jesus himself. Knowing that Jesus is righteous proves your faith in him. And what is more important, it also proves that you are not focused on the mores of society. You're more focused on what Jesus Christ has in store for you, not what the world has in store for you. In the very beginning of this verse, you notice that it starts with an if statement. It says, if you know that he is righteous. John's doctrinal knowledge here sets up the ethical response of what is being implied, or what he's actually implying by saying, if you know that he is righteous, then you should do what is right. If you believe and understand that Jesus Christ is righteous and what he has done through the course of his life, what he has done through the course of your life, then that means you should always do what is right. Not right in your wife's eyes, your husband's eyes, your family's eyes, friends' eyes. What is right in God's eyes? Most of the time, those things are very different. Because unfortunately, we fail to do what is right in God's eyes. Sometimes we make that mistake and then he allows us to realize we made the mistake. And sometimes we make that mistake over and over and over until we begin to not even realize that we're making that same crucial mistake anymore, because it's become so much a part of our lives. That has become indoctrine of our life versus being indoctrinated by God's holy word. So it's very important that we always strive to do what is right. Any response that we have should always be a spiritually driven response, not self-driven. And I promise you right now, you cannot go wrong. You will not go wrong when you're seeking God daily and you're asking him to lead and guide you every step that you take. Being spiritually led, being spiritually driven, being on fire for God will take you a very long way in life. And not only that, it will also help further advance the kingdom of God. Looking at our last three verses of 1 John 3, the first verse reads, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. This very first verse tells us of who we are, which is very important to know, is that we are members of God's family. There's no greater family to be a member of than of God's family. That's a family that will not let you down. That's a family that will always be there for you through the thick and through the thin. Even when times are going so terribly wrong, God's family will always be there for you as believers. Our self-worth is based on the fact that God loves us and that he calls us his very own. And what's so great about this too is you don't have to wait a specific amount of time. You don't have to reach a specific age. When you have accepted God's saving grace, you instantly join his family. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You've been adopted into the heavenly kingdom of God instantaneously. You don't have to wait a specific amount of time. As soon as that happens, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your life eternal is very secure, knowing that you can rest assured that Jesus loves you and that he has prepared that place for you. Our second verse says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. Meaning that we don't really know exactly what we're going to look like, what we're going to be like. But it says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You shall be like Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how in depth that is, to know that this man that left his heavenly throne to serve, to save, not to condemn, but to save this lost and dying world, that one day we will be just like him, fashioned unto the likeness of his glorious body. You think about all the problems that we have with our old bodies right now. Whether you're young or old, we know we've all got issues. We're not perfect. But one day, we're going to be just like him in all of his glory. You know, as I was younger and I would try to read the Bible and study his word, this verse in particular used to really puzzle me because it did say, or as it says, we shall be like him when we see him. You know, you think about our bodies now, our vile, detested bodies. You know, we are sinful people. We are born with sinful nature. But one day we're going to be like Jesus. And I recall growing up through life, the sermons that were taught of Jesus and his deity and how he was sinless, he was perfect, which is very, very different from us, a stark contrast from the lives that we live. Even as born-again believers in God, this is still very different than who we are. We are weak humans with a sinful nature. But I'm so thankful for John's message here that he says that we are now God's children and we can begin the process of becoming like his son. And that's great to know because it's always, or it should be rather, a constant work in progress. You know, you become a child of the one true king instantly, but don't stop there. It should be a work in progress every single day. Is life difficult? Trying to be the Christian that God needs you to be? Trying to be the godly father that he needs you to be? Is it easy? Of course not. Should it be easy? Of course not. It's going to be difficult. But you've got a great helper. You've got a wonderful friend in Jesus who's there for you, who will lead you, who will guide you, and will take you each step of the way if you're willing to submit to him. All we simply have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. We can enjoy this perfection one day. We're not there yet. But what does it say? When he shall appear, we'll be like him. So that means that one day, this body in which you have will be perfected. And it's only through the power of the cross that that can be made or be done for you and for me. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom did he foreknow? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." This process will not be complete until God calls us home or till he raptures his church. Knowing this is our ultimate goal should motivate us each and every day to live like Jesus, to live for Jesus, to be like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13:12 reads, "For now we see through glass darkly." Meaning our vision is somewhat blurred. We can't see as clear as we one day will be. "But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Meaning that one day that darkness will be taken away. This worldly vision will be taken away. This worldly sight will be removed. And we will then be face to face with Jesus. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body?" How often do you think of your body as being vile? It's very vile. And for those who have not willingly called upon the name of the Lord are living in dangerous times. They're walking on dangerous ground. We do not know when he will return. So if he will return today, will you be left behind? Are you sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that when your time on this earth ends, that you will be just like Jesus, being able to see him face to face in all of his glory? It says that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, according to the working whereby he is able. We're not able. He is able. He makes it able. He made the way when he took that cross to Calvary's hill. The road was made on that day. You have to be willing to walk it. And this is something that we must do daily as Christians. Every single day of our lives, strive to be like our Heavenly Father, because our Father is righteous. He has made us righteous. He has allowed us to live a righteous life. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in us. He'll begin to direct us. And we will slowly make changes for Christ each and every day. It's always going to be a work in progress. If you feel like you've already arrived, if you like you've already accomplished all that you need to accomplish in your Christian walk, you're sadly mistaken. And you do not fully understand the concept of God's holy and infallible word. You should grow daily. You should want to know more about Jesus' word and that life he lived daily. In our very last verse, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So we've been made pure by Jesus Christ, but every man that hath this hope, you've been made purified by Jesus Christ, pure as he is. Have you been made pure? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to purify your life, guaranteeing you an opportunity of life eternal with him, guaranteeing you an opportunity to understand and to know what it means and what it takes to be like Jesus? Knowing the Lord will return should be a very strong incentive for believers. And not only that, it should be a very strong incentive for the believer to also go out and tell the story of Jesus. But remember, as I said earlier this morning when we talked about our meet and our greets, sometimes we don't want to go out and tell others because we're scared. We're sometimes ashamed. We don't know what to say. But if you've got a relationship with God as he needs you and wants you to have, the Holy Spirit will give you the exact words to say. He will lead you. He will guide you. Many times I stand before you on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and even on Wednesdays for prayer meeting. And yes, I have notes that are typed up. But if I were to go back and to listen to the CD of a sermon and compare it to what's written down, I imagine that maybe 90% is not even used here. Because God takes everything and he works it for his good. He allows me to stand here to preach to his people. And what a blessing it is to know that I get to come here on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesdays to be with you all. It's an honor and it's a blessing. But how much greater is it to know that I'm doing what God wants me to do, because that's what it's all about. No matter what role in life you have for Christ, he's got one for you. Whatever you think it may be, he's got one for you. And he wants to use you. And all he needs is willing bodies to submit to his will. And when we do this, we're pleasing our Heavenly Father, that good, good Father. So how often do you think of being like Jesus? How often do you think about what it will be like the day that you get to see him face to face? Do you think about that? And if you don't, you really should. Because that's what it's all about. Being able to see our Heavenly Father face to face. How do you see the Holy Spirit making you more like him right now? Do you seek out guidance from God? Do you seek out asking the Holy Spirit to literally lead and guide you each and every day? If you don't, you should have him be a part of your life in every area, not just a church life, but your home life, your work life, your social life. He wants to be a part of every aspect of your life. Repent, submit, and yield to the Holy Spirit so that you can be like Jesus. Remember, we do not know when he cometh. No one knows but God himself. Are you ready? Are your friends ready? Are your families ready? But it starts with you. When you leave here today, with every ounce of your being, strive to be like Jesus. Father, I thank you for your holy and infallible word. God, it is my prayer that you allow us to be more like your Son in all that we do. God, I pray right now that you help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, God, but a life that will reveal you to those who are around us, Lord. God, I know that it should always be a work in progress, Father, and I pray now that we will never cease to tell others about you. We will never cease to live for you, God, until you call us home. But God, if there be someone here today who's ready to be like you, May today be that day, God. Father, we love you and we do praise you. In your precious and holy name, amen.